Come on in and grab your Bibles and turn to Matthew. And we got Josiah. Is Josiah in here? Josiah's going to read this morning. So I didn't know I was going to have an international speaking trip today. A little surprised to come in and realize that I'm in Paris. It's kind of fun. So, Christian Youth Theater is having a performance afterwards today, so that's why all of, come on up, Josiah, that's why all of this is in place, and it just makes me really ready to get a new building, right? Anybody with me? Yep. All right, we're reading Matthew 11, we're talking about rest today. We've got Josiah Sugarman reading for us.
Howdy, church, I'm Josiah. I'll be reading Matthew 11, 28 through 30.
What grade are you in, Josiah?
I'm a freshman.
Freshman, all right.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for reading today.
Yeah. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord.
Awesome. Thanks, Josiah. Great job. We'll just grab that. Well, we're in a series on family values, and one of the topics that I thought was important for us to talk about is rest. The place of rest. You guys feel rested? Does society in general make you feel rested or anxious? I think we would all say we feel anxiety at times, and just to be able to pull away from all that's going on in life, it's so important to do. I remember one of the first times I really started seeing the importance of this, it was my freshman year in college. I wasn't a believer first semester at University of Tennessee, and I'm trying to sort things out. And I made a friend in the dorm room. He was a really bright guy. He was a pre-med major. He was on the highest scholarship that the school offered. He had a plan, not just to do his pre-med program in 4 years, but he was going to get it done in 3 years. He wanted to go on to make big money. Quicker he could do that, the better. So he had a plan on how he could graduate in 3 years while also working a part-time job. It just involved him sacrificing certain luxuries in life, like time with friends, like days off, and even sleep. So he had a plan. It was all mapped out on his spreadsheet, and he was executing this plan fairly well for the first 5 or 6 weeks of school. And then all of a sudden his midterms came around and he pulled a series of all-nighters so that he could cram and get ready for these exams. He then went to class, took his exams, and utterly bombed them. He said he couldn't even read them. He was so tired. He came back to his dorm room and took a nap. And 6 days later he woke up. And concerned roommates made him go to the doctor, and the doctor ordered him, "You need to rest." He said, "You have completely exhausted yourself. You weren't made to go without sleep. You weren't made to go without rest." Now, I remember seeing that and thinking, I don't know what the solution is, but this was a bad idea, right? Wasn't a believer, but I knew something's not right here. Well, that's probably a bit of an extreme situation, right? A lot of times if I need an extreme illustration of what not to do, I can go to a freshman in college and like 80s rock bands. Those are a great place to go. Most of us may not struggle with that degree, but we all feel the tendency to burn out. We all feel the tendency to be overexerted, to have too much pressure on ourselves. Burnout, you hear that talked about a lot today. Burnout is defined as a state of physical, mental, emotional, and I would add spiritual exhaustion, caused by living too fast a pace for too long. Do you know that 80% of people struggle with burnout? 80% of people struggle with burnout. Gen Z has higher levels of burnout than any other generation. Even just a quick search on burnout will yield all kinds of people, Hollywood stars, politicians talking about how they came to a point of complete exhaustion and even collapse. So what is going on? Why can't we find rest? Some people may even say, well, you know, all these people burning out, where is God? What's he doing? Why is he allowing this to happen? Well, this is where our faith and the Christian faith should shape how we think about our lives so that we protect ourselves, so that we don't live foolishly, that we don't live without direction. Because one of the things that we see in Scripture is that God provides rest for His people. He actually commands us not just to do stuff. He does do that, but He also commands us to rest. How about that? Take a day off. Brilliant, right? Brilliant. People need rest. Families need rest. If we're going to be in close relationships with others, we should rest together. We should care for one another. So we are in a passage where Jesus talks about rest and finding rest. And I think it is an extremely important topic for all of us today. And it's an extremely important topic for families to talk about. Families and friends. So I want to look at a few things that we see in this passage that will encourage us to escape the burnout culture that we live and find rest. Rest for our souls, rest for our bodies, rest for our minds. So the first thing to see in this is that we need to see the Lord who gives rest. Verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus is a Lord that offers His people rest. But before you see anything about what you need to do, just see the character of God here. See something of His character right here in that He cares for you. He cares for His people. Look, this isn't like Pharaoh who said, "I'm going to double your quota of bricks and half the amount of hay that you have in there. Get with it, get busy," right? That's not who Jesus is. That's not who God is. He provides rest for His people. Remember that He cares for you, that He is good. He is Lord of all, and He is good. He calls you to do hard things, but He also calls you to rest, and He invites you to find rest in Him. One passage, He said, "A bruised reed He will not break." There's a tenderness to who our God is. He is good. He is almighty. He's all-powerful, and He cares. Here it mentions rest. Rest is sleep. It's a quiet. It's a stillness. It is to be physically and mentally refreshed. Ever run a race? You're running a race and you're just getting fatigued and tired. You need a drink of water and you need to sit down. I feel that after about a mile and a half, right? I'm done. I just need to rest. This is too much, right? We need rest. Well, God created us to depend on Him. We're not self-sufficient. One of the ways we do that is we rest. We rest in Him. Rest, it's the opposite of being weary. He says, "All you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest." If you're weary, that can be a physical tiredness. It could you have been exerting strong effort. You need to rest. You need to stop moving. It can also just be emotionally discouraged. Anybody emotionally discouraged after a week? I get there. It's like, man, need a nap, tired, but it's mental, it's emotional. You need rest. Heavy laden, that's when you are weighed down with difficulties or troubles, hard things. That's having teenagers right there, guys. You feel heavy laden, a lot to think about. Maybe it's, man, math was hard last year and you've got algebra too. Man, you're heavy laden, you're burdened, you're weighed down. We need to find rest for us. And that's where it's helpful to see that as Jesus talks about rest, this isn't the first time this has occurred in the Bible. Rest is a theme throughout Scripture. Rest is part of God's creational design. You go back to the very beginning. At creation, God instituted rest. This is Genesis 2:2. It says, "And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all His work that He had done on creation." God rests. God works, and God rests. Some of you, you don't like to work. You need to look at this and see God is a God who works. Some of you love to work, but it's hard to pull away. You need to see that God is a God who rests. And that's amazing to think about because God doesn't need anything. He's fully self-sufficient in who He is. He doesn't grow tired like we do. He's doing this for us to understand how he's created the world. He's created us to work, created us to be active, to shape the world. He's also created us to rest. We rest in him. We see who he is and what he's done. This is the one that we are to image. This is the one that we are created in his image. He works and rests. It's for our example. This he is providing for our refreshment, that we could be renewed, that we could take off those burdens, that we could cast aside that discouragement and refresh ourselves in him. Remember, if you're running a race and you need a drink of water, you need to pause for a moment to take that water. Same thing in life. We need to pause for a moment. We need to rest. We need to pull away so that we can refresh ourselves in him. Also, this is a rest in the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, the sojourner who is within your gates. For 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Again, God's calling people to rest. Here it's interesting that the command isn't just to people, it's to heads of households as well. Make sure your kids don't work. Make sure your household, you observe this day of being holy. I don't know, kids, you might be able to use that as leverage to tell your dad why you shouldn't have to cut the grass today, right? I'm looking out for you. You rest, Dad, I can't do that. And what your dad's going to say, well, hey, if you had worked the other 6 days, you could rest today, right? All right, so there's a little bit of give and take. If you're going to rest, you've got to work. If you're going to rest when you're supposed to rest, you've got to work when you are supposed to work. That's something that a lot of people are confused on today. God created you to work. He created you to rest. It's God's design that we rest and that we rest in him. B.B. Warfield, old theologian, he wrote on the Sabbath, and he said, "This is the day on which the tired body rests from its appointed labor, on which the worn spirit finds opportunity for recuperation, an oasis in the desert of earthly cares, when we can escape for a moment from the treadmill toil of daily life, and at leisure from ourselves, we refresh ourselves in God." You ever feel like you're on a treadmill? You ever feel like the world's just driving you down that treadmill? Well, you've got to make a decision to just pull back and rest. And here's the thing. Your ability to rest is directly related to your ability to trust God. Your ability to rest is directly related to your ability to trust God. Look, there's always one more thing that you need to do. There's always one more thing that you can get done at the office. There's always somebody who needs something from you. And sometimes you just have to make a decision. God, I'm going to trust you with my life. And I'm going to rest. There's a lot of things that are undone. I'm going to rest in you. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to pull away. I'm going to relax. And trust that you have my good in mind. Physical rest means you take a break. Physical rest means that, hey, I've been studying for calculus the whole week. I'm going to rest. I'm going to pull back. I've been driven by all my customers the whole week. I'm going to take 24 hours. And I'm going to rest. I'm going to pull away. Roger Federer does this for 11 to 12 hours a day. Usain Bolt, 10 hours. LeBron James, 12 hours. Do you know what it is? Sleep. They sleep. Imagine that. 11 to 12 hours a day. Roger Federer. Grant Hill, he said sleep, former professional basketball player, sleep is as important as diet and exercise. Now, many of you may say, well, wait a minute, I'm not a professional athlete. I don't need that kind of sleep. Well, let me ask you this. When was the last time you took a solid 12 hours away from your work, from looking at screens, from answering emails? We need to rest. God calls you to do that for 24 hours, to rest your minds. One person, David Murray, I think we have this quote on the screen. He wrote a book called Reset, great book. He said, few things are as theological as sleep. Show me your sleep pattern, and I will show you your theology. That's great, right? We need to rest. We need to pull away. You know, one thing that got me a few years ago was I was thinking about, you know, a lot of our work today, it's mental. We sit behind a computer and we do mental work. We think through it. We send emails. If I was a coal miner 200 years ago, or I guess even today, there's coal miners. If I was a coal miner and I needed a day off, my day off, I'm not going to be in the coal mines, right? I'm going to be outside. I'm going to be going for a walk in the park and seeing the sun and all these great things. And I'm probably going to spend a lot of time sleeping. Well, most of us do mental work. We are on computers, constantly looking at those. Maybe then you're off and you're thinking, well, hey, I need to do my social media. Most of us are like, you know, a marketing vice president with our social media, trying to get things out there and show people what we're doing. And it's just, it's work, 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 and our brains are constantly going. Think about what it would be like if you just walked around with your bicep flexed all day long. You would be tired at the end of the day, right? Well, how about with our minds, with our brains? You need to relax. Let those arms go a little bit. How about with your mind as well? We need to relax. We need to find rest. Part of resting is we pull away. We cease activity. And let me also say this, because it might be hard for you to pull away and do that. We like to get things done, don't we? Here in this Alpharetta culture, we like to get things done. One of the things you have to realize is God cares more for you than what you are able to do for him. Ever think about that? God cares more for you than what you are able to get done for him. So sometimes we start thinking about, well, hey, I want to do all this and do it to the glory of God. Praise God. I've got 1,000 things I'm going to accomplish before the year's over. And those are great things. But you know, one of the things that we see, we're called into a relationship with God. And if you've ever had a relationship with people, the relationship is often more important than just what you can do for them. Amanda is more important to me than just what she can accomplish for me. I love her for who she is. And that's what's important in a relationship with kids. Yes, I want you to get some things done, but it's more, I want you to love me. I want to love you. We're looking for that relationship. And a lot of times we just start thinking about what we need to do for God. And we realize what's most important is that I'm in a relationship with him. I know him. I love him. I want to be with him. And so sometimes that means just putting stuff down. Now, sometimes your relationship with God may drive you to do things, and that's good, but there's also a time when our relationship with God should cause us to pull back, to let some things go, and to find time to meet with him. We refresh ourselves in him. This is one of the things with rest. We saw in the Ten Commandments that rest, it's not just a day to do nothing. It says, honor the Sabbath and make it what? Make it what? Make it what? Holy, you're right, make it holy. What does it mean to make the day holy? Guys, it doesn't mean that you just spend all day watching football. You know, you start with pregame at 7 a.m. and then you conclude with the late night game. We make it holy, holy to the Lord. It means that we don't just, we rest from work, but we make it holy by engaging in sacred activities. We engage in the Word of God. We refresh ourselves in the Lord. This is also where throughout history people said, this is why we go to church. Part of making the day holy is we go to church. We are in fellowship with other believers. We hear the word taught. Even in this passage, Jesus said, come to me, learn from me. How do we learn from him? We rest from other things and we come and we sit at his feet and we learn what he has to say. We learn about our lives, about the world he has created. We remind ourselves of the promises that we have in him. As we know his promises, we know his character, that is often what allows us to rest. We make the day holy. Some, if you read some of the old confessions of the faith, they'll say things like, don't profane the day in idleness. We rest. We need to rest, and yes, it's fine to take a nap. It's fine to watch some football and those things, but we don't want to profane the day simply by being idle. We want to do our spiritual exercises, so to speak. Times in prayer, Bible reading, church, those bring us into God's presence where we know him more. One person said this: the seventh day did not call for a withdrawal of activity, but a renewal of vitality. Think about that. Not just a withdrawal of activity, but a renewal of vitality. You know, there's times that, you know, sometimes things come up during the week and you're like, man, I've got nothing to draw from. I've got nothing to give to figure that out. If we are refreshing ourselves in the Lord, if we are being sharpened on who He is and what He's done, we are being replenished so that we can give ourselves to those things. Sometimes the hardest things that come up through a week are the relational burdens that we feel, right? The relational conflicts maybe you have with your spouse, your kids, with others. And you think, man, I've got nothing to give on that. Well, if we are refreshing ourselves in the Lord and who He is and what He calls us to, hopefully we've got something to draw on to give to those things. It's a reminder, it's not just resting from activity, but it's giving ourselves to sacred activity. We find rest for the Lord. It's a time for us to fill our hearts and minds with truths about who God is rather than just how we feel about our circumstances. You know the difference in that? I'm really good at rehearsing how I feel about my circumstances and rehearsing what I don't like about life. The way I can break that pattern is I start telling myself what God says about my situation. That often means I start listening to my wife. She's really good at telling me, hey, you're just listening to your circumstances. Why don't you listen to this truth of God's word? We need that. We need that to set our hearts on the right course. We need to pull away. We need to have time to talk to others about our walk with God. More significant things. Deeper things than just the weather and the football team, right? We need to refresh ourselves in the Lord. Who is He? What's He doing? What are you struggling with? How can I pray for you? Those are wonderful things to do on a Sabbath, on a day of rest. This highlights the need for healthy rhythms, right? We need healthy rhythms. We need to work when we're supposed to work. We need to rest when we're supposed to rest. And if you don't have a conviction about these things, you're going to get run ragged. Your schedule is going to look very different than what God calls us to have. Your life just becomes a smudge of colors without distinction from anything else. There's not effective work. There's not effective rest. And you're just feeling smeared everywhere. We need to rest in Him. We need to let Him define how and what we do, when we do it. Really neat. Talking about rest, just being able to sit there. Christian philosopher Blaise Pascal, he said, many of the problems of man are seen in the fact that he is unable to sit in a room by himself quietly. Unable to sit around in a room by himself and just rest. Be quiet. What he's saying is that we're always trying to distract ourselves from the things that are going on in life. We're trying to distract ourselves from the pain that we feel. We're trying to distract ourselves from our own inadequacies. And just to be able to sit in the presence of God, to sit by ourselves and rest in who He is, who we are, and what He's done for us. It's a gift from God that we are able to do that, but it's also something that we have to train ourselves to be able to do. Resting requires boundaries. You've got to set boundaries. In the Old Testament, there were boundaries. There were boundaries in time. Think about that, resting one day, working 6 days. There were other boundaries, time and space. Think about, you know, the temple, and it was arranged in different ways. Certain things were done in certain spaces, and some things weren't done in those spaces. Think about that in your life. What are the fences that you have up? What are the fences that protect you? How do you think about rest? You know, for me, I still remember being a new Christian in college, and I had not done anything in high school. I'd done no schoolwork, so I had to work really hard just to stay even with people. And then I decided to do a major that was fairly hard for me, and it took a lot. And I remember being challenged with these verses. It was my sophomore year in college. It was my busiest semester. I had a huge load. I was working part-time. I was doing all these things, and I started to feel it, started to think, man, I hope I'm not going down the path that my friend went down a year ago. And I started reading about rest and seeing how God calls us to rest, and I thought, God, I can't do this right now. This is the busiest season. How am I supposed to do this? And I just felt like it was one of those things that I just needed to trust Him. And I was like, God, I'm going to trust you, but I don't like this and I'm not comfortable with it. And what I started to see is that my busiest semester ended up being one of my best semesters ever. And I felt that as I worked hard when I was supposed to work and I pulled away when I was supposed to pull away, I found that I was more refreshed. I was sharper. I wasn't giving into that just smudge of life. And I started to see the goodness of the Lord. It's like, wow, he commands me to do this, but he also provides. And there's a real wisdom when we follow God's word. Imagine that. It was a great lesson for me to see that, man, I'm able to do the things that he's calling me to do, and I'm more effective in this than I ever thought I would be. Started seeing his goodness in resting in who he is and what he's done. We've got to trust him. If we're going to rest, we've got to trust him. If we're going to trust him, you've got to know who he is. And the only way you can know who he is by spending time with him. Spending time with him and spending time in his word. We need to find spiritual refreshment in who he is and what he's done. We'll go to point two. Taking his yoke on. We need to take his yoke. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon and learn from me. You have to take his yoke on. Do you know what a yoke is? Probably don't. Most people aren't familiar with yokes because we're not an agricultural society. We have a picture of a yoke. Do we have it? There we go. There's a yoke. It's a wooden bar that goes across these oxen. Do these ox look like they are ready to rest or ready to work? You put a yoke on them when you're ready. We're going to get some work out of these bad boys. You know, we need this plow field, so we're going to get it done. You put a yoke on when you are ready to work. And it's ironic what Jesus is saying here. Take my yoke upon you and find rest for your souls. We have to take his yoke upon us. A yoke, it is a sign of servitude. These oxen, they're owned by somebody else, right? They're not making decisions for themselves. They are owned by somebody else. A yoke is a sign of servitude. And when we come into service to Jesus, that's when we find rest. We find Jesus when we submit to him, when we trust him. But we have to remember that servitude to Jesus is servitude to one who cares for us. He cares for us. He loves us. He is a Lord who provides rest for his people. His yoke brings freedom. It's ironic, isn't it? Servitude to Jesus actually brings freedom. You know, one of the things that we see, it actually happens later in the passage that we read. It's what comes next, but there's actually a big debate. Jesus' disciples are walking through a grain field, and they start picking the grain. They get a little hungry. There wasn't a 7-Eleven for them to stop off in, so they just say, hey, let's just run our hands over the grain, and let's take some of it and eat it. Well, there were some other people, the Pharisees, who were kind of the stuck-up religious people, stuck-up religious leaders of the day, and they see this. They're like, hey, how can you do this? You are breaking the Sabbath, telling Jesus that he's sinning. You're not obeying God's law. And so it begins a really neat teaching that Jesus provides. I'll just kind of sum it up. But the Pharisees, they had laws for their laws. And some of the laws that they said that you would never walk 1,200 feet on the Sabbath. Because as soon as you walk 1,200 feet, you are officially working. The 1,199, you were okay. But that next one, you have now sinned. So Jesus, you know, what are you doing picking grain? They said you couldn't aid an animal that had fallen in a pit. They said you couldn't light a candle because in the Old Testament it said not to light a fire. So lighting a candle was working. So they had all these kind of man-made rules. And what Jesus does in this passage is he does a few things, but he starts to teach them that man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. The true intent of the Sabbath was to be a day of refreshing. It wasn't to be this legalistic thing that we sit there and we measure every single thing that you do and then add it up at the end and did you work or did you not. We start to see that the theme of rest, it's really about finding a relationship with Jesus. That's what's at the center of it, that we find our rest in him. And it also, it brings a degree of freedom. One of the things that we see is that Jesus, he changes the law. This is kind of a big topic, but I'll give you a few things on this. We see Jesus changes the law, right? So with the commandments of adultery, did Jesus heighten that or loosen it? He heightened it, right? He said it's not just to commit adultery, but if you even look at someone lustfully, you've committed adultery in your heart. How about the commandment to murder? Did he heighten the requirements of that or loosen them? He heightened them. He said, you've heard it said, don't murder, but I say to you, anyone who hates his brother has committed adultery in his heart, right? And so now we come to the theme of the Sabbath, and does he heighten it or does he loosen it? Are you stoned because you walked 1,201 steps? No, you're not. He loosens the Sabbath. And what we see is all these commands, it's ultimately about a relationship with Jesus. It's having a relationship with him, that he is Lord of all. And so here he brings a laxity to the Sabbath, which we start to see that it's permissible. Disciples, it was permissible for them to pick some heads of grain and eat. It's permissible to do works of service. We need to see that, but we also need to see that there's a structure in place. There's a structure in place. Jesus frees us from a legalistic understanding of that. You know, if your dog falls in a pit, you can pull him out. He's showing the Pharisees that it's about having a relationship with him, that it's not a legalistic understanding, and it's about being yoked to Jesus. Being yoked to him, coming into service to him and who he is, submitting our lives to him. If you've submitted your life to someone, you're giving your all for them. And that's what it's all about. That's what Jesus is teaching them. There's this kind of the serendipitous effect. You know, serendipitous, that's when you find joy in something that you didn't expect. And that's what Jesus is saying to them. Take my yoke on you and you will find rest. It's showing the nature of his lordship, that he is good, that we can find joy and service to him. This was my experience in college as I started to serve Jesus. And it wasn't just with rest. Being a single guy in college, the world tells you how to live your college days. And I had done that in high school and thought, this isn't working. And as I started to serve Jesus, as I started to trust him with my finances, as I started to trust him with relationships and friendships and girls and all that, I found a joy that I had not found anywhere else. As I started to serve him, I found a joy that just, I'd done everything the world said you could do and was empty. Here we find that there is rest and joy in Jesus. That we submit to him. One of the other things that this passage shows as we think about rest, as we think about what the Pharisees are doing, there is always going to be somebody calling you to do something other than what you're doing. There's going to be people that saying, hey, what you're doing is wrong. There's going to be people saying, hey, you need to do this, and hey, you're not done yet. Get back here. Servitude to Jesus frees us to servitude to everyone else because somebody is going to own you in life. It's just a matter of who it is. And if you haven't submitted to God, you're living for something else, and you just might be a servant of 1,000 masters. Whichever way the wind blows that day, whoever is yelling the loudest is what gets your devotion. And you lack a backbone, you lack a foundation, you lack something to stand firm on. And Jesus can be that for you. Everybody's going to be disappointed with you at some point. I think about that. It's like, I'm going to disappoint a lot of people today. I just want to make sure I don't disappoint Jesus. He's the one I want to serve. And if I'm good there, I don't mind who else I disappoint. There's a freedom in knowing him. There's a freedom to coming under his yoke. You know, Jesus also told, there's the account of Mary and Martha. These are two sisters. And Jesus comes to their house. And Martha is worried about the dishes and the dinner and getting everything ready. And her sister Mary just goes and sits at the feet of Jesus. And Martha actually gets upset. He's like, Jesus, she's not helping. I need help. Tell her to come do what she needs to do. Get her job done. And Jesus just looks at her and says, Martha's chosen what's better and it's not going to be taken from her. Mary. Mary has chosen what is better. Important point in that passage. Mary has chosen what's better and it's not going to be taken from her. Martha was being driven by all the worries of life, all the worries of what other people might think. Mary was freed by that. She could just come and all the stuff undone and just sit at the feet of Jesus. It's a great example of how Jesus frees us from the concerns of the world, frees us from servitude to the world, and we can find rest for our souls in him. Just want to encourage you, parents, give your kids rest. Find ways to help them rest. You can Google burnout on kids, the emotional distress that they go through, the depression. Sometimes, parents, you need rest. You need to pull away. Help your kids to see the place of that. And yes, playing baseball can be rest, or it can just be another thing that they have to do to get done. It's not just playing baseball. I want you to go pro in baseball, right? It's the American way these days. Just leisure. Have some leisure. Have some space. Have some margin. Remember margin on paper? Go back to old paper. It's the white page. There's no lines. It's just space. We need margin. We need space in our lives. Parents, you need that. Your kids need that. I want to encourage moms, particularly moms, young kids. That is a demanding time. Get away. trust your husbands with the kids for a little bit. Look, it's not going to get done the way you want it to get done, but they will live. They will be okay. Find some rest for yourself. Know when there's times that I need to pull away for a little bit. I need to be refreshed. You've got to recognize that there are times where, hey, I could keep pushing, but I'm just going to trust in Jesus, and I'm going to rest. Sometimes you've got to wave the white flag, say, hey, we are going too fast, too long. Rest. Trust in Jesus. Screens, another thing to talk about. Screens, your mind is just constantly going when you are on a screen. Find times to pull away. One of the big addictions of our day is addicted to screens, just diverting you from the things that are more important in life, diverting you from, we feel problems and we go to things for refuge. Some people, man, this just happened, I'm stressed, let me go to the sports page. Kids, it's often, man, I don't know what to do, let me get on a video game. Find ways to divert yourself from the things you're supposed to do. Take a break from those, give your minds rest. Those are just a few things to do to find rest, to give yourself space and margin. And remember that Jesus commands us to do that. He commands us to rest and find refreshing in him. So it is a matter of obedience. Are we going to obey him? Or are we going to continue to ignore him? This is part of the burnout culture. Burnout is so prevalent. I think one of the reasons it's so prevalent today is because we are losing a Christian worldview, a structure of work and rest that's out the window. And so it's just blurring together for more and more people. If we're going to follow Jesus, we need to follow him in resting. Yes, we don't have to have a legalistic understanding of that, but we do need to see that there is a structure in place, and God has intended that for our good. A lot of times we just disregard God's commands, and then we suffer for it. I'm not trusting him, so I can't rest. And then I can't rest, so I'm burnt out. And then I get mad at God for what I've done. You just got to break the pattern and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to rest in you. Really interesting. I wasn't going to share this, but if you're familiar with the French Revolution of the 18th century, one of the things that they did, it began a de-Christianization of the nation of France. They started pulling away all the church property and a major shift in their culture. Some people say it's somewhat similar to what we're going through right now. They took away Christianity as the official religion. They enthroned the Temple of Reason. But one of the things that they also did is that they decided, you know what, we're going to change this working 6 days and resting one. We're going to do a 10-day work week. It didn't work. It didn't go well. Within a couple years, they had completely abandoned that. We see that God's imprint is all over creation. He created it. He knows how it works. Are we going to come in line with his plan and his purposes and find rest for us? Third thing to see is rest for your souls. We find rest for our souls so much more than taking a vacation. Vacations are fantastic. It's a way to rest. But we need rest for our souls. You could also say rest for eternity. That's what we need. The greatest rest we need, it's not found in a day or a time, but it's found in a person. It's found in a relationship with Jesus. And we won't find rest for our minds or bodies if we don't find rest for our souls. Jesus here taught that he is Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Lord of rest. If we don't rest in him, we don't find rest. True rest is found by trusting in him. And it's impossible to find rest if you don't have any assurance about life and how it's going to go for eternity. When you know Jesus, you know that all of our sins can be forgiven. When you know Jesus, you recognize that the greatest thing you need is for death to be overcome. And you working more hours in your job isn't going to accomplish that. You need rest. You need eternal assurance. And only Jesus provides that. Only Jesus lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, and overcame death. Like, that's a great day of accomplishment right there. I died and was raised again. Like, that's a job description not many people can do. Jesus has done that so we can rest in him. So if we are resting in him, we know that our eternity is secure. It's secure. There is a rest that comes with that. That when we have truly surrendered to him, there is a rest that we find in that that can't be found anywhere else. Trying to find rest without that is impossible. It's like a man dying of cancer getting a back massage. Does the back massage feel good? I'm sure it does. Does it change his circumstance? No, it doesn't. So he can't truly enjoy that. It's like, what would you do if you were on the Titanic and you're getting to these plush lounges and everything else and you're going through that, the best food that can be provided, but you know in a short period of time that ship is going to sink. You wouldn't be at rest, would you? You would not find that a relaxing vacation if you knew the end result. We can only find true rest when we rest in Jesus, when we find rest for our souls, and that's what Jesus offers to them, rest for their souls, a spiritual rest, an eternal rest. And it only comes by knowing Jesus, by acknowledging his lordship, but also in submitting to him. We submit our lives to him. You know, sometimes we treat Jesus like a condiment. You know, when you go out to a restaurant and you get your barbecue, you get your pork, your meat, your fries, and all that stuff, and it's like, man, you've got your plate right there. And you're like, well, just give me a little bit of salt to sprinkle around it. Doesn't really change things. It just, you add a little salt to it. Hey, I'm good now. And trusting in Jesus is more like coming in there and saying, hey, none of this works anymore. I'm just getting rid of all of it, and I'm putting Jesus there. This is the most important thing. The brisket was great, but I'm getting rid of all of it. Jesus, I'm putting you first. I'm not just sprinkling you into my life. I'm making my life about you. And that's when we find rest. That's when we come to a point when we understand him, we know who he is, we can trust him. The next step is, have we surrendered to him? Are we giving him our lives, or are we just adding a little bit of religious talk to our days and thinking that we're fine? He offers rest to us, but we have to come to him. We have to take his yoke upon us. And the other side of that is that if we refuse that, then we know what he promises is destruction. We find salvation in him, or we experience destruction. We experience the weight of our sins upon us. And so he calls us to serve him. He calls us to find joy in him. That's what we're called to do. That's what he is offering to us. Are we willing to leave aside everything else and come and find the life and joy and purpose that he has for us? That's what he calls us to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We see your goodness in this passage. We see your sternness as well, that if we continue to disregard you, we suffer for that. And that just as when we grow hungry, God, it's a calling for us to fill ourselves with our need, and also our weariness calls us to find refreshment in you. Sometimes we recognize what we lack, and what we most need is you. to be able to rest in you and who you are. Lord, we want to commit our way to you. We want to commit to having you as our Lord. Lord of all that we do and Lord of our rest. God, help us to not just give up, but to completely let go of just trying to do things our own way. Doing things our way is typically what gets us into trouble. Help us to rest in you. Help us to look to you. Help us to do things your way. Just want to give you a moment to pray. If you need to commit yourself to the Lord, or maybe recommit yourself to the Lord and his plans and his purposes, just take a moment and do that now. Just maybe it begins with saying, God, I surrender. I surrender. I want to follow you. Maybe you need to ask for help. Say, God, help me to see you for who you are. Help me to trust you. Help me to rest in you. Just pray that now. I also want to encourage you to pray. If you just feel like, man, God's just calling me to be a leader. Calling me to be a leader to help others to know him more, to share the good news of what Jesus has done, maybe to share with a friend. I want to encourage you just to pray now and say, God, help me. Help me to lead others. Help me to do it first myself, and help me to speak. Help me to live with confidence. Be an example to others. Just pray that. Father, I want to pray for those that are recommitting themselves to you. God, I pray that they could just step out in faith, knowing who you are and what you've done for them, knowing the assurance that we have in Jesus, that he's done what we could never do. All the things that we messed up, he fixes. And that gives us rest. And that because of his work, we can have confidence to spend eternity with you. Not because of how good we've been, but because of how great his work is. And that's amazing. And I pray you would stir all of us to trust you more, to give ourselves fully and completely to you. And Lord, I just pray for those that feel stirred to be a better leader, to be a better example. God, I pray you would give them courage and give them confidence. And give them rest. That it's not about their performance. It's about resting in you. And Lord, we just thank you for the goodness of this day. Thank you for the goodness of Sundays that is an oasis in a desert. That nourishes us and strengthens us. Thank you for this word, and thank you that we have something to sing about. We trust you, Lord. We worship you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you to stand. We're going to see another song. This song's about trusting in God. Remember, our ability to rest is directly related to our ability to trust in God. So I want to encourage you to just continue interacting with the Lord. If you need help asking for that, maybe you just need to sing. Maybe you need to sing these words boldly to get yourself to believe it. Let's do that. If you need to come down front for prayer, feel free to do that. But let's just respond to the Lord.